Kia ora, nō mai, haere mai. Welcome to the Work Ready webinar for the Graduate Internship Program. My name is Riley, and with me I have my colleague James. We are both interns at Blind Television in the Community and Inclusion team. I'm going to pass to James now to introduce himself.
Kia ora koutou, ko James Karakaho, ke tuako e noho ana, how it was originally born in Waihara Kiki Blenheim. Just the short intro, Riley, you'll go with everything.
Whatever you're comfortable with, yeah. We can always explain later.
Okay, no round the rooms, no whanaungatanga, anything like that?
No, it's just us two introducing ourselves. And
All right, so I am a graduate intern, as Riley stated. I got this after I graduated from my honours degree in psychology. I was a bit late to go to study. I was also a bit late diagnosis for my eye condition, which is choroideremia. It's typically adult onset, and that can be anything from your mid to late teens to well into your adulthood. It's fairly advanced for those in my family. But that's right, got plenty to do and get on with anyway. My vision story is a bit of a long one, so I won't get into it, but basically, yeah, adult onset, worked a lot in my late teens, early 20s, got the diagnosis in my early 20s, gave up work, went back to study, done a few degrees since then, had a lot of part-time work, voluntary work in my mid to late 20s, and then I got this last year. I was quite pleased. I didn't think it would be worth applying for, to be completely honest. I hadn't engaged much with Blind Television beforehand, but a friend of mine who is also low vision, she works in the sector, and she happened to come along to one of Sarah's webinars here, and she says, "Oh, you should look at their internship. Go and check out Sarah's webinar. She'll tell you more about it." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay, sure." Went to the one the next month or the following, asked a few questions, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool, sounds good." Put it in my calendar. Applications opened, I think it was about September or something last year. So just set and forget. About 3 months later, they open. Yep, cool. Put the application in. I'm not sure how long it was later. It was about a month or 6 weeks later. I got a call back. Cool. We'd like to proceed with your application. Yeah, so that was a nice surprise. Personally, though, I'm fairly active about myself. I'm fairly active into running, cycling. I run with a guide, with Achilles, and I ride tandem bikes. So far, mainly on the velodrome in Cambridge, but also some roading events as well. That's my go-to in terms of pastimes. Hobbies, oh, I'm really nerdy. So lots of reading. I've taken up Braille, so give me a few years, I better read proficiently with that. That's a bit about me. Otherwise, the internship, I suppose I should talk about that, eh, Riley?
Yeah, I think I'll introduce myself first and we can like jump back and forth if you like.
Cool, sounds good. Tag.
All right, kia ora koutou. It's Riley speaking again, and thank you for the people who have just joined. I'm slowly letting people in as they arrive. We've just had James introduce himself. And if you've missed anything, this will all be recorded and up on our website in the coming weeks. So who am I? Kia ora, ko Riley Takuingawa, no Otipotio. So I'm from Dunedin. I currently live in Auckland, Tamaki Makaurau, and I'm a guide dog handler. Guide dog Rangi is on the floor somewhere in this room. I'm not sure if she's on camera, so if you can see a little bit, have fun spotting her. I am also a graduate intern. Now, before I was a graduate intern at Blind Low Vision New Zealand, I was studying at university. I was volunteering in a few different spaces and different capacities in the youth and rainbow space. I also had lost a little bit more vision a couple of years prior to starting this role. That meant that I had to give up my retail job and then was looking for further employment. Now, before I got accepted into this role, I had applied for 342 jobs over the span of 8 months. I got advice from career advisors, WINS, the uni career advisors, and it wasn't really until I reached out to Blind Low Vision New Zealand and the Work Ready Service that I found helpful advice on how to apply for a job that was fitting for someone with low vision. And the trickiest thing for me was disclosing my low vision, which we'll get into later. But yeah, A bit about me outside of work. I love to go for walks with my guide dog. I love a little bit of baking and coffee. I'm active as well, aiming to do 200 kilometers for Porgest. So if you haven't heard of Porgest, do look into that on the Blind Low Vision website. It's super cool. Little self-plug there. My eye condition is optic nerve hyperplasia and nystagmus. We're still trying to figure out my acuity because that changes day by day, but it's about 6/120, which means I can read a screen, but I do struggle with eye fatigue and eye strain, which I'm sure many people will relate to. So now we're going to move on to chatting about our role as interns. So for me, I work in the youth space and I get to do some really, really cool projects. I have had helped assist setting up a youth council, and this week actually we've got our first in-person meeting. It's really exciting. We've got 10 members from all around the country who get to have their voice heard and listened to by Blind Lip Vision, and we get to make that space more welcoming for our younger clients. We know that our younger clients only make up a small percentage of our whole client database at Blind Lip Vision, but their voices are equally just as important. I also get to do a cool project where we're connecting with clients who maybe haven't talked to us for a wee while. We're calling them on the phones. You may have even received a call from me or some of my colleagues. And we're getting on the phones and we're just reconnecting people and reminding them that we're here for them. A lot of people forgot we existed or didn't know they were even eligible for support post-education. So it's really good to have that connection with our community and be providing them with the support. We're helping people get into study. I had someone recently I contacted a couple months ago, not know support was available, and now they're looking at getting into study because they have access to technology, which is amazing. We've got so many stories like that. And my third favorite project, although there's many more, is just being in the community inclusion team, just general advocacy. We do schools awareness workshops. So I've done a couple trips out to schools now to chat about low vision and blindness, life as a guide dog handler, and just showing our tamariki what life may be like for someone with vision loss, blindness, or low vision. And if we chat to them about what they can do to help as well, that's just something that I do on the side. I don't run that program. One of our previous interns, Nive, has, and I believe she spoke last year. So if you would like to go listen to Nive after this, she'll be on our website and you can listen to her webinar. But I'll pass over to James to chat about his role in his internship.
Good, Riley. So I've been given a project as such. So I'm running the Braille project, which is basically a 360 review of everything Braille that Blind Low Vision provides. So that can be everything from initial meetings with PSPs to find out whether or not a client might want to use Braille and perhaps show them or talk about what they could use it for and how it could enrich your life. And it can be everything from that to the curriculum we use to for clients to learn Braille, whether it be self-directed or with their instructors, or it could be research about how Braille is currently working or not working. I've got a lot of feedback so far on what is and isn't working, and that's been used to change the delivery going forward. Otherwise, it's basically about stakeholder management. And finding opportunities to get more Braille out there, raise awareness, improve internal awareness too here at Blind Low Vision, and also improve what we do have in terms of services, and even as far as our signage, getting feedback on our signage and helping check that across the country. But as Riley noted, he's in the community inclusion team. We all are this year. So it means I get occasional jobs or roles. Across, well, other departments, basically where they need a client experience or insights. And yeah, that's about the gist of my work here at BLV. I'll pass you back over to Riley, who's going to talk about what he was doing before the internship.
Thank you, James. I just have to say, as a new Braille learner myself this year, James has really worked hard on creating space where the Braille conversation can continue, which I'm sure many of us do appreciate. So yeah, before the internship, what was I doing? So as I mentioned before, I was at university studying. I was studying a Bachelor of Arts in Youth Work, Māori Studies, and Criminology. And to be honest, I was applying for all these jobs because I'm like, I need something to keep me a bit financially stable. I need work experience because I didn't really have much other than that one retail job. So yeah, I applied for actually another online audition, and the recruitment people were like, hey, look, we really want you for this role, but unfortunately, there's people that have a wee bit more experience. I'm like, that is totally fair. They recommended I apply for the graduate internship role, which I saw pop up in about September. And I wasn't originally going to apply because I haven't actually graduated yet. I've got a few more papers to go, and we're still working on that, studying and working at the same time. So it is fun, but it is definitely possible if you balance things the right way. So yeah, I applied and I got a phone call, and I thought, oh my gosh. It started off like this. It says, hi, Riley, I am so and so from Blind Revision, and I'm so sorry. And I stopped. In my head, I'm like, oh, I didn't get the job. That's okay. At least I tried. It's good practice. I'm so sorry I'm a bit sick, but I just wanted to let you know we've got a guide dog that we want to match you with. So that was pretty cool. And then I went through guide dog training. And then the day later, after I graduated with Rangi, I got another call. Hi, it's so and so from Blind Low Vision. I'm like, oh, what's up? Like, do they want to check in with how I'm going with guide dog? Like, it's a new staff member. Nope, we'd like to offer you a job. So that happened in quite quick succession. I went from being a full-time uni student who was just gonna like navigate uni with a guide dog, and then I got this full-time job at Blind Low Vision, which has been great. The staff have been so supportive, and I'll chat about supports later on, about how when I started the role, what supports that I got to help me. But yeah, so that's kind of how I got into the role. But my advice for that is just like, if you're not sure about applying, just apply anyway. You never know what will happen. And like the advice I got at the time, the worst thing they can say is no. And I had heard no many times before, so it wouldn't have hurt. But they said yes, and I'm here because of it. So yeah, James, what about yourself?
So mine's kind of a different end of the spectrum. So I don't know if anyone here can tell otherwise, but Riley's much younger than me. I'm just turned 37 the other day, actually. So my time before the internship was quite different. As I noted earlier, I did a few degrees, and I never thought I'd do that, to be completely honest. But I found my passion in psychology and philosophy. But the reason I mentioned that is I had just come out of a very hard honours program. I loved it. It went well, but it came at a time where my vision was changing so much that I underestimated how much of a challenge it would become and how much capacity I had left to perform and study, because I did really well in my undergraduate and my grades were starting to slip in the postgrad, and I was just a little bit worried about it. So I decided to take the second half of that year off. I say year off, but I've had multiple voluntary and other jobs that pay here and there, all in the community sector, all charities. But I had those ongoing for one for nearly 7 years at that point, and the other one for nearly 3 years at that point. So I had some work experience all in the disability space. But I decided, cool, didn't need to go and do anything full time. I had given up my last full time study when I was a little bit older than Riley, actually. So in my mid-20s, maybe quite a lot older than Riley. Sorry, mate. I'm glad. Thanks. But I thought, oh, yeah, why not? When this came up, when my friend Artish mentioned it, so yeah, cool, give it a go. Why not? And I was quite shocked, because I was planning on taking the next year off and just looking after myself and deciding where to next, because I wanted to study for my master's so I can eventually be qualified as a psychologist. I'm currently doing that now, but only part time. So I was in a bit of a transitional space, I think, I'm trying to say. And yeah, it was good timing in the end because, well, I hadn't had a full time job in over a decade at that point. And unlike Riley, hate to rub it in, I hadn't had to apply for a lot of jobs. This was the only job I applied for. But I think that's because I had spent so long working in the community space, in voluntary roles and partially paid roles. I had a lot of connections and was already doing a lot of work, so I was quite, active in it. and opportunities just kind of knock when you go out there and keep doing what you do and what you love, and people see your passion. And yeah, I think that's essentially what I was doing, Ryan. I hope that helps and answers it.
Yeah, no. The next thing I was going to chat about was when applying for the internship, we both had to submit CV and a cover letter. Do you want to chat about some important thing that you found helpful that you included in your CV and cover letter?
Oh, absolutely. So, when I had found out who I was interviewing with, I realized, okay, that's community and inclusion. Cool. That works really well for me. It plays into my strengths, it plays into my experience. So I specifically designed my cover letter and CV around that. It says, hey, look, this is what I've been doing in the community. This is how it's relevant to Blind Low Vision New Zealand and their goals, etc. I mean, it sounds a bit cliche to basically just write it all about that, but no, there's a reason that they have those goals there and their pillars, their strategy, etc. As an organization, if you can illustrate how you are living those or exemplify those in some way or can apply those, they want to hire you because that's what works as an organization. You've got to do what you say you will, and if you've got experience doing that and you can show that, you've got a really good shot at it. So that's how I shaped my CV. I basically just described what I'd been doing, how it was relevant, and that was me. I kept it simple. Used a bit of GPT. Be very careful, though. Be very careful.
Yeah.
You've got to proofread. It's gotten a lot better, but you've got to do a lot of proofreading when you use that. Don't use any language that isn't you. You'll be caught out. Yeah, I think that stood me in good stead. Yeah, back over you, Riley.
Thank you, James. Yeah, one thing I wanted to add to that, when I was doing my CV, what I realized, because I had already spoken to the recruitment team at Blind Low Vision, and I'd also spoken to Sarah Mitchell, who was ended up being my manager, and I do apologize. She sends her apologies as she can't be here today. So I kind of had a brief idea about what the team was about and what Blind Low Vision's values were, and I'd also been a client for life. So I used that lens and I put that in my cover letter, and I think I framed it along the lines of, I have been a client and have gotten so much from this organization, and I'd like to give back, and with my work experience and my values and my passion for community and education and awareness, I was able to do that. And then there was a couple interviews to get through with the managers of the team. And yeah, the other thing I wanted to add was for the CV, when we chat about skills. So sometimes people find it challenging to put skills on their CV, and I did too. There was a service, part of the WorkReady service, there was the Gallup Clifton StrengthsFinder. Now, what this does is it's not like your traditional career quiz where it tells you, well, for me, it always told me that I should be a police officer, a firefighter, or a security guard, and look, dream career, but not really quite cut out vision wise. So instead of giving you careers, it gives you skills that you can take into CVs and interviews and use those skills to show what you're good at. And that really helped me. It meant that I could have some really, really practical skills on my CV and kind of show why I was good. So one of them for me, I can't remember what the top one was, but one of them was adaptability. So I can use my vision as a strength and be adaptable. Yeah. All right. So the next on our list to put it all about is our interview process. So one thing I wanted to mention was many young people aren't a big fan of answering their phones, and neither am I. James might maybe completely different, but I was not keen on answering phones from a number that I
Ha
didn't recognize. So a couple important tips from me. If you're applying for jobs, change your voicemail to something that's appropriate. Don't have a voicemail that's maybe you making some rude language, or don't do a prank one like hello, beep, 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 beep. Make sure it's appropriate and professional, and that when you do answer the phone, you're answering it professionally because you don't know who's on the other end. It could be your potential employer. I had a couple friends who learned the hard way and shared this lesson with me, so I don't have to learn it the hard way. But I wanted to pass that advice on to you. James, do you have any advice for that kind of interview beginning applying process for our listeners?
Oh, it's sort of tautoko or what you said, really. I had discomfort, we'll say, answering unfamiliar phone calls too for quite some time. Now I'm just like, oh, well, what's the worst they can do? But yes, that's definitely a thing. Just be open. You be open. Don't be afraid to get something wrong or say something wrong. As long as you know what you're going there for and why you applied, you should be fine. So when it comes to answering that call and having to answer questions, you'd be right. You've got an idea of what you're worth, and you just got to be able to, yeah, tell them why.
Thank you, James. So after we interview and we apply, the biggest thing in the interview for me was, and not just at Blind Low Vision, was how do I tell them I'm low vision? And at the time, I'd just been matched with like a guide dog, but I hadn't met my dog yet. So I don't know if I'd have a dog when I started the job. It was like, how do I have this conversation around disclosure? And James, you might go about this differently, but for me, I kind of had a conversation with my parents, and they're like, look, you're applying for a job at Blind Low Vision New Zealand. If they cannot get it right, who can? So you needed to be a client to apply for this role anyways. So that was super easy. But in other roles, it wasn't quite so. So there's many ways I went about it. The first I would frame it as I'd walk in with my cane and I would get a look or a question. But I would frame it in a way that says, yes, I have a visual impairment and no, I cannot see, but I can still do this job and this is how I do that. And I show them examples of how I can do that. It could be using accessible technology to read signs. But you shouldn't have to prove yourself, but unfortunately, sometimes people aren't aware of what vision, low vision, can look like, because I've never seen it before. So sometimes, yeah, I'm pretty open, and that didn't work for me all the time, as we can tell. But yeah, James, what is your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's a tough one in terms of disclosure. I gave up my original full-time job because I could no longer safely work in that role, and that I knew I'd have to retrain for anything meaningful in the long term. So that's essentially what I did. But that's the thing, right? As you said, if BLV can't get that right, then they shouldn't be doing what they do. But when it comes to that concern anywhere else, look, I honestly can't recommend reaching out to Sarah enough. She's got so much experience in this space. She will shut anyone down and empower you in that space, eh? Really important because no matter what, vision loss looks like for us, it's different. So getting that across and saying, yeah, I can't see this or that, but I can do all these other things is quite a challenge. So don't hesitate to reach out. It's really worth it.
And one of the most common questions we get is, what do I do if they ask if I have a driver's license? And to be honest, many jobs don't need you to have a driver's license. And if they do, there's ways and means about doing the job without having a driver's license. If it's something like I'm going to use emergency services and you need to be driving an emergency services vehicle, maybe not, that's not the right fit. But if it's something like a social worker where you're driving a flea car, you can get funding to get someone to drive you, or you can get funding for taxis. So that's why I highly recommend reaching out to Sarah for stuff like that as well, because she gave some advice, and I've heard her give advice to other clients, and it's she's just a wealth of knowledge. So yeah. But in terms of the internship, this role is for those who are low vision and blind or deaf blind. So clients of Blind Low Vision New Zealand. So it was probably the first interview where I haven't had to explain my vision. If anything, I was really, really supported in my access needs. So before I started working here, I got a call and they're like, hey, with your technology, is there anything you need? In terms of your work phone, is there any support you need? And what we both had was an assessment from the ACATS instructor, a workplace assessment in terms of the desk and the monitor setup. And I actually decided, hey, I'm going to learn how to use VoiceOver on my laptop so that I can read faster and be more productive. How was that process for you, James?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same, right? Except I have actually underutilized, to be honest, those opportunities to upskill in terms of my own accessibility needs. I've been prioritizing other things. I'm still juggling too much. But that, I think, just illustrates the flexibility of this work because I'm able to juggle, or now gone to two other jobs. I no longer have the third job on the side, which, well, the fourth job on the side, which is paid. But the point is, I can study and work and, you know, get around from A to B all because of this work. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that, Riley.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So that kind of brings us to, there's a lot of support there. That we were all, that we got, but at the same time, we were given lots of space to grow and make a few mistakes and maybe accidentally delete my Word document. And but we're in the community and inclusion team, we all have low vision or are blind. So we have that lived experience that we can chat about. And sometimes it can be, it's not work related. Sometimes, like, oh, I'm really annoyed about this taxi driver that didn't let me and my guide dog in. Or I'm just a little bit frustrated that this form isn't accessible that I need to do. And we really have that shared connection in this internship program. We may not all come from different backgrounds, we may be all different ages, but we do share that like vision perspective, and we can share our knowledge with each other. Awesome. So we've got a few things to wrap up before we jump into any questions from the listeners. But James, I'm going to pass this question to you. But what impact has the internship had on you, both personally and professionally?
Oh, it's kind of huge because it's forced a transition. So instead of humming and hawing as to what I do next, everything's kind of fallen into place. I know it sounds a bit cliched or over the top, but I really was unsure what to do next because I had been studying for so long, nearly 7 years part time. But that's for what would normally be 5 years of full time study anyway. Oh, sorry, 4 years of full-time study, so quite a bit longer. But it's forced the transition because I really wanted something to sink my teeth into. I needed to do something else. I love the study, and yeah, like I said, I'm currently doing my master's, but very part-time. I just needed to work. I needed something that I could see, or yeah, terrible, terrible way to put it, but just, you know, I could feel something happening around me. You know, that change was live and real, and it was just easier to see in a workplace environment. And that's been awesome because I can actually tell that no matter what I do, I'm on the right path for me. Like, I'm lucky I found my passion, and it fits so well with what I'm studying, and it fits so well here, whether it be in this team, if I get another job out of this, even if it's not in this team, it's not going to matter because it's still in the community space. And, you know, studying psychology to be a community psychologist, I couldn't really ask for more. So it's kind of forced that transition anyway, to think long term about that. So it's really changed my thinking rather than sitting there with uncertainty. Because, you know, pushing 40 in a few years, it's like I'm no longer young. Well, I feel young, but, you know, traditionally speaking, I'm no longer youth. So yeah, it's just been quite transitional for me. And yeah, I'm looking to see where it goes next, whether it be here or elsewhere. Looking forward to it, by the way. Back
Awesome.
to you,
Thank you,
Riley.
Alex. Thank you. I definitely agree with the kind of future thinking as well. For me, it was kind of proof of what's possible. I never thought I'd be able to work full time because I was told so. So I now know to myself, and I've proved to others, that I'm more than capable of working full time. I'm more than capable of finding a job that is actually going to listen and listen to our accessibility needs and make the workplace accessible for everyone. It's not as hard as people make it sound. And the other thing is, I've seen examples of people who are blind or low vision in leadership and owning houses. And I had just not seen representation of that myself as a young person. So to see that, I'm like, well, okay, I don't know why I put myself in this box of I can't, because definitely can. And then my passion for youth and community work in the disability space has really grown. I didn't know what type of work I wanted to do. I knew I was like maybe youth work, maybe social work, maybe education, but I'm really my passion for this space has grown a lot. So yeah, I've had lots of room to think and grow and get feedback from the team about my work and just personal things like just slowing down before coming to a meeting and thinking about ideas first. One thing that I did forget to mention earlier was that part of the internship is you can have the option to go on an external placement for the final 3 months of the internship. Now, Blind Low Vision pays for this and facilitates supporting you into this 3 month. And for some of our previous interns, this has actually led to full-time roles. Now, we had someone a cup last year, I think, who then her name was, I do apologize. Her name was Ray, and she was on the webinar last year. So do go listen to that. And then we've also had interns who have staff who have started off as interns, and a couple of them have gotten full-time roles at Blind Low Vision, which is really cool. And one of them is in our community inclusion team. That's Neve. She runs the schools awareness program and other awareness programs as the awareness lead. So yeah, the internship can lead down multiple paths. For some, it's a really good 12-month experience. Some it leads
How's it
them
going?
to
Good.
further.
Is there any chance we can borrow your head boiler little thing? Yeah, go for it.
I'm just going to mute that person, sorry. For some, it can lead into, sorry, I lost my train of thoughts. For some, it can lead into another role outside the organization. But the 3 months kind of shows that all that outside organization that, yeah, hiring a blind or vision person isn't that scary. And it gives them experience in another field as well. So yeah, and I think the biggest takeaway from this whole experience so far, although I'm only 7, nearly 8 months in, is that I'm more capable than I thought. And yeah, what about yourself, James? Have you got any main takeaways?
Oh, not that it wouldn't require a good coffee or, oh, I won't say that on recording. Yeah, but basically, there's a lot of opportunity here, whether it be directly with BLV or externally. And if we don't, take part and illustrate how it can work, no one else is going to do it. So jump in, give it a nudge. Heck, even if you go study this year and apply for the next year. I mean, if you're studying right now, apply for it, please. Yeah, we need more representation out in the workforce as people with blind and low vision. Cheers, Ryland.
So our applications open, I believe, will be opening in mid to late September, and that process is, if you receive the Corridor newsletter, that the in that newsletter, there is a link with the current job opportunities. Keep an eye on that, and I really, really encourage anyone who's interested to apply. Even, the team is just so supportive, and I am a completely different person than I was 7 months ago, in terms of growth and connections and networks and just how much I've learned. But yeah, so that does wrap up our kind of corridor, James, unless you want to add anything.
No, I think that about sums it up. Yeah, if you don't get amongst it, you'll never have an opportunity because you're not, giving it a go.
Thank you. I will open the floor up for questions. Feel free to pop them in the chat as well. I do apologize. I did mute a couple people. We just had some background noise coming on. So yeah, feel free to unmute yourself and ask questions. Otherwise, we may close the space. If you have any more questions that you think of later, you're always more than welcome to email us at community and inclusion at blindlowvision.org.nz. That contact is also available on our website. You can also give Blind Low Vision a call on 0800 243 333, and they can connect you through to Sarah, who runs the Work Ready team. Or if you've got any questions for James and myself, they can connect you too. We highly recommend using the services available to you as a client. They've been so much help. And even if you just want some advice on, I'm a little bit stuck on this job application, or I'm a little bit unsure about what to add to my CV, or I'm not quite sure about my skill set, do reach out, because Sarah is absolutely amazing. And yeah. Do we have any questions from the audience? Awesome. It doesn't look like we do, and I do apologize if we have missed anybody. But I will now close the space. Thank you once again, James, for joining us. The next Work Ready webinar will be the, oh, I do apologize. Let me just grab the date for you guys. I had that remembered and then I did forget it. It will be the second Tuesday of August, which is the, that'll be the 11th of August, and that will be Workbridge joining us. So I look forward to seeing who joins us for that. And if you can't make it, the recordings are all available online. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a good week.
Thank you, everyone.